So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!" So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Time to play the game. Time to play the game. It's all about the game and how you play it. All about control. And if you can take it, all about your debt. And if you can pay it, it's all about pain. And who's gonna make it? I am the game. You don't wanna play me. I am control. No way you can shake me. I am heavy debt. No way you can pay me. I am the pain, and I know you can't take me. Look over your shoulder, ready to run like a cleaver's face from a smoking gun. I am the game, and I make the rules. So move on out here and die like a fool. Try to figure out what my mood's gonna be. Come on over, circle, why don't you ask me? Don't you forget there's a price you can pay. Cause I am the game and I want to play.
Version of radio show we call MVM Radio. I tell you what, we've got so much going on. Make sure you guys check out LouisvillePolitics.com for all the latest stories we're doing. And man, Louisville is in an uproar today as usual. It just happens that way when I do stories. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me why people get upset when you put out the truth, because they got so much to hide. Right, Mayor Fisher? Right, Dr. Reverend Kevin Cosby? We got a lot going forward with these guys, folks. I tell you what, check out LouisvillePolitics.com for a two-part series so far. We've got at least two more parts already written, ready to go up. And we are going to take this machine down in this city. Why? Quite frankly, because we can. That's just the nature of the beast. So, you know, get ready for it. Get ready, Louisville. We are going to take everything by the bull by the horns and take it away. Ed Martin apparently is running late. I'm sure he would be joining us anytime. Sometimes he gets busy running that business that Barack Obama built for him. So, you know, sometimes it creates conflict right at 7 o'clock with late orders and stuff. So I'm sure he'll be here shortly. But that doesn't matter. We have so much to talk about. It's unbelievable. And let's get started with the Louisville Metro Council. Yes, let's stay local for just a minute. The Louisville Metro Council found Barbara Shanklin guilty. For anybody who's been hiding in a cave since late last week, found Barbara Shanklin guilty wrongdoing, ethics wrongdoing. She violated all the ethics rules and everything else. And yet, miraculously, the Shanklin Seven did not vote to remove her. Now, the reason I want to stay on this story for a minute, because we stayed with this Wednesday and Thursday night, and I know it's probably old news to some of you guys, but I want to make a couple of things very clear that maybe weren't so clear to most people. You know, there is a lot of people out there screaming that the Metro Council is corrupt, the Metro Council has done all these different things, the Metro Council needs to be removed, blah, blah, blah. I'm with you guys. I'm totally with you. I think we need to recall Metro government and go back to the old form of government we had prior to merger. I really do, because merger has been a dismal failure. It has not fulfilled the promise that we were given. There has been no true merger anyway. The city of Louisville is still the city of Louisville. Jefferson County is still Jefferson County. Supposedly, most government was going to save us money and instead has cost us money. So I'm totally with getting rid of this Metro Council. But I want to make one thing clear. To those who are screaming about the Metro Council failure to remove Councilwoman Barbara Shanklin, understand that it was not the entire Metro Council at fault here. It was not. We had quite a few Democrats. As critical as I am of Democrats, we did have Democrats vote to remove Barbara Shanklin from office. Cindy Fowler was one of them. David Yates was another. You also had Democrats on a charging committee, Madonna Flood, Vicki Welch. You know, the people that were on a charging committee, five of the Metro Council members, weren't even allowed to vote because they're allowed to, once you bring charges, you're not allowed to vote. So the charging committee of five that included both Republicans and Democrats, as we mentioned, and Jerry Miller, you know, Kevin Cramer, a whole host of others, you know, these guys weren't even allowed to vote. So if they were allowed to vote, they already put out a statement that they would have voted to remove Barbara Shanklin, which would have gave us 18 votes to remove her. That's a far cry from Barbara Shanklin being found not guilty. Even those that were allowed to vote found Barbara Shanklin guilty. They just refused to remove her by one vote. 13 voting council members voted to remove Barbara Shanklin. Seven, the Shanklin Seven, the minority of voters, voted not to remove her. So I want to make that clear. If you want to recall Metro government, great. I'm with you. Let's get rid of them. Let's go back to old school and make it the way it used to be. Because I got news for you. I live in a county. I would be tickled to death. I would improve my life living in a county without merger. But, you know, let's not do it based on this. Let's look at the big picture and not hold every one of these people accountable, because there really are some good council members on both sides of the aisle. As much as I chastise them, I want to make very clear that the majority of the council did want Barbara Shanklin gone. Unfortunately, it only took a very few amount of votes to keep her. So maybe we need to start looking at something called a simple majority. More importantly, where I would really like to go is to create a civilian ethics panel commission, civilian ethics court, no more than seven people. We don't need 20 people voting. We need seven people. For the parties that are scared to death that they won't be able to control anything at that point, fine. Let's have three Democrats, three Republicans, and one independent or other in Louisville appointed to this commission. You know, that's what I think we need. I really do. You know, we could put it up for a vote. We can do a vote on it. Let's put it on a ballot. Let's work to do that. If we're not going to recall merger and if we're not going to hold these guys accountable, you know, then let's go a different direction. Let's go a different direction. Let's get a civilian ethics commission up, or a civilian ethics court up, load it with seven people, let them make the choices. That way it's we the people that are making the decisions on these serious violations, and not the fox guarding the hen house. So there, you wanted a fix? I just gave you a fix. If you can't recall Metro government, then let's change the way we hold them accountable by making civilians in charge of the process. Keep the parties happy. Give them 3-3. Let the independent be the tiebreaker. Then we've got some sort of accountability. We've got better accountability than we do right now based on the garbage that went on last week. Moving on to other news. Everybody's making a big show about Allison Lonergan Grimes did such a great job at Fancy Farm. She killed the audience, blah, blah, blah. Folks, let me tell you something. please, for the love of God, get your head out of your butt. Allison Lundigan Grimes did absolutely nothing at Fancy Farm to make herself a credible political opponent for the national stage. She talks about mud-slinging Mitch, and she spent her whole time at Fancy Farm slinging mud. That's a hypocrite. For those of you who don't know what a hypocrite is, that's a great example of it. When you accuse somebody else of doing something that you're doing yourself, you are a hypocrite. So Allison Lundigan Grimes is a hypocrite. And what's really fascinating, too, about Allison Lundigan Grimes is Lundigan Grimes is being touted by the Democratic Party of being somehow the next best thing to run against Mitch McConnell for this election. Now, somebody explain to me this. We already have a precedent with a politician that has only been in office for less than 2 years, and what have they done for us? Oh, his name is Barack Obama. Oh, wait a minute. Because the reality is, Allison Lundigan Grimes has only been an elected official for a year and a half. And for the last several months of that, she's been focusing on this Senate run. Don't let anybody fool you thinking she wasn't going to run. She is. We knew that months ago. The stage was being set for her. So she spent half of the year and a half that she's been the Secretary of State being involved in elections. Guess what? We've got precedent for how that works for us. His name is Barack Obama. Barack Obama was a senator for 2 years, a U.S. senator for 2 years, and didn't have a clue and was elected president. Look where we're at. We want to take a state secretary of state like Allison Lundigan Grimes with a year and a half of being elected and seriously consider her for the U.S. Senate? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? We have got to make sure that we're paying attention, folks. Now, I'm not telling you where to vote for McConnell because he's a mudslinger. I'll agree with that. McConnell does sling mud. There's no doubt about that. But I would damn sure take the power that Mitch McConnell yields at the U.S. Senate as the minority leader over somebody who's been an elected official for a year and a half at a state level for a meaningless job. And a Secretary of State's job, don't get me wrong, it has to be a meaningless job. I mean, I know it's supposed to be important. But as Secretary of State, Allison Lundigan Grimes hasn't even filled out her daggone paperwork that she's required to fill out with the Secretary of State's office, an office she runs. She doesn't have access to the forms. She doesn't know how to fill out her own paperwork for her personal business. Come on, give me a break. And Matt Bevin, seriously, guys, Matt Bevin being a Tea Partier is like telling everybody that Barack Obama is an ultra-right Christian conservative. I don't buy the Tea Party logic. Matt Bevin may be a good guy. He very well may be. And maybe he is a conservative. But two things we know. Matt Bevin has a problem paying his taxes and has liens against him, according to Mitch McConnell. I have not verified that. I'm just telling you what's going on out there right now. We are verifying that as we speak. But I do know, and have been verified, that Bevin did take $100,000 in government bailout money in Connecticut just last year. He is the president of a bell company up in Connecticut, Bevin Bell. He is the president of that company where he is from, mind you. He's not a Kentuckian. And as the president of that company, when they had fire done damage to it, instead of paying for fire insurance like everybody else does that owns a business and making sure they've got liability coverage for their business, Bevin didn't. Business burns. He takes $100,000 in Connecticut bailout money. I don't know of any Tea Partiers who think government bailouts are a good thing. But I'm probably wrong because we have plenty, plenty, plenty of Tea Partiers right here in Kentucky saying, Matt Bevin has got our support. He is the Tea Party candidate. Well, didn't we just become hypocrites with the Tea Party as much as Allison Lundigan Grimes is a hypocrite? You see where I'm going, folks? It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. Sooner or later, you reach a point where you're going to sell out and you're going to become a hypocrite for your basic beliefs. Thank God we don't make a habit of that here at MVM Radio and LouisvillePolitics.com. But We're also not running for office expecting the public to trust us and showing the whole world why they shouldn't. It's a scam. It's a scam. So we've got to make sure that we start getting into that and make sure that we're paying attention. But don't fall for these lies from this liberal media about Alison Lunigan Grimes is doing all these things. She's never given us her position on anything. She won't say what her position is on banning assault weapons. Remember, everybody's after stand your ground and gun control, but she's scared to go on record because scared to be used against her. You know, all the big issues that we force Republicans to be held accountable to, they're not holding her accountable to. She has never laid out her views on abortion, gay marriage. She won't talk about whether she backs higher taxes on higher income earners. I'm sorry, aren't these the issues that we can scream and moan and groan and complain about against the Republican candidates? So why is Alison Lunigan Grimes not being held to the fire? Even the media is upset with her. Even the media is saying, when is she going to start answering reporters' questions? Because she won't answer any questions, truthfully, honestly, or anything else. But we would expect nothing less from somebody who's tied into people like Sean Riley, Kurt Morrison, you know, the two guys who illegally audio taped a private meeting between Mitch McConnell and his campaign staff and then tried to sell it to the American public through Mother Jones. What a nightmare. What a nightmare. So we have got to make sure that we're holding people accountable to the real truth. And this whole spin with Alison Lunigan Grimes and all this other garbage, what a great job she did, is nothing more than a laughable joke. You know, so we've got to start paying attention. In other news, Governor Steve Beshear is coming under some sort of scrutiny. His son, Governor Steve Beshear's son, Attorney Andrew Beshear, he works with Steisen Harbison, Steve Beshear's firm. When Steve Beshear was elected governor in 2007, you know, he took a leave of absence or quit at that firm. But Steve Beshear, as we know, in my opinion, is corrupt, has been involved in so many things. It's unbelievable. Well, his son apparently is coming under the gun, if you will, for representing a company that is going to build a natural gas liquids pipeline through Kentucky. And Andrew Beshear visited the state PSC, the Public Service Commission, with those pipeline representatives in April. Now, why is this an issue? Because Andrew Beshear is the governor's son. And he's representing a company who is seeking favor from the state of Kentucky or the Commonwealth of Kentucky for a pipeline, for a controversial pipeline that everybody don't want. So, you know, why is Andrew Beshear specifically involved in this project? Now, according to Kerry Richardson, who's the communications director for Steve Beshear, they don't see any issues with this or any conflict of interest because Steisen Harbison represents so many clients who sometimes have to, you know, work with the Commonwealth. It's bad enough to see them tied into Steisen Harbison, because we know Steve Beshear is going to do favorable treatment for the attorneys there. That's his home. That's his bread and butter. You know, but when his own son is out there representing companies, I think it's right to question that. I think it would be right to question if there are any ethical concerns here. And I don't think it's right to just basically act like it's no big deal. Based on Judy Green and Barbara Shanklin, Jim King, and all the other messes we deal with in Louisville and beyond, you know, questioning Andrew Beshear, who works for Steisen Harbison right here out of Louisville, is the right thing to do. So for Steve Beshear, come clean. You know, get him out of the limelight, whatever it takes. We need to do something with it because we, the people, have truly had enough. And speaking of enough, we're going to go ahead and take our first break of the night. When we get back, we'll start turning the pages and getting into more stuff. You're listening to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned. We've got more coming at you.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters Radio Show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
advertisers. Here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
There's a lot of truth to that song, though, man. If you don't like it, get over it. And, you know, that really applies to people like Mayor Greg Fisher and the Reverend Kevin Cosby, who have been whining like little two-year-olds all day, screaming at anybody they can, because they're a little upset about me putting out a nice little story on them today. Go to LouisvillePolitics.com for the Mayor Fisher West Side Story Part 2. You won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed. We've got so many things going on with these guys. It's unreal. And we're going to bring that machine down. I promise you that. In the meantime, there are other things going on besides Louisville, Kentucky. And I want to kind of get into this. And, guys, you can call us at 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. Ed Martin is off this week. He's on a cruise, so we will not be hearing from him. So we got a little bit extra time we could talk to you. You know, but when we look at what's going on, this is something that should really not shock anybody, but it should really tell you all you need to know about this president and the economy. Because President Obama made a statement that I just found totally unbelievable. And he said that, and I quote here, "If public sector employees grew like they did in the past two recessions, the unemployment rate would be 6.5% instead of 7.5%. He went on to say that if all of these public sector employees were working, the U.S. would be getting more tax revenue. you know, you got to let that kind of soak in for a minute. But think about that statement. So Barack Obama just said that we should hire a bunch of public sector employees. And if we do that, we're going to get more tax revenue because they're going to pay taxes. Now, folks, even a five-year-old can understand this reality. If you hire more public sector employees, who's going to pay for them? We the people are. Who pays the public sector employees? How do they get their money for their paychecks? Our taxes. So let's take a public sector employee. Now, let's hire them at $50,000 a year. Include benefits in that. They're not getting a big paycheck. Include benefits. The total cost for an employee is $50,000 a year. They're going to pay roughly 20% of that $50,000 a year in taxes. So they're going to pay $10,000 a year in taxes. But cost us, we the American people, $50,000 a year in wages and benefits. So we're going to have a net loss, using that scenario, we're going to have a net loss of $40,000 a year by increasing the public sector employees. But Obama seems to think, and this is the problem with liberal logic, this is the problem with the socialist liberal Democrats today. They actually, what they see is, wow, we get $10,000 a year in tax revenue back. That's awesome. They don't see that it costs us $50,000 to get that $10,000, that we're losing $40,000. This is incredible to me. This is how smart this guy wants to think that we are. This is incredible. He actually went to an Amazon center in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and made those statements. So I really don't know what else to say about that. It has got to be one of the most, I mean, this is Joe Biden. Barack Obama is Joe Biden. I mean, that's got to be one of the stupidest things I've ever heard said, especially by a president in a bad economy, thinking that this is going to impress somebody. But what's worse is, the idiots at Amazon that he was talking to were applauding him for it. These are voters applauding Obama for making such a stupid statement. And by their applause, basically agreeing that he's right. Excuse me? Call us and let you know what you think, because this is incredible to me. 858-683-1326, 502-805-0334 in the Louisville area. And of course, we continue getting more and more information coming out about Benghazi and failures there. Even CNN on Thursday has started somehow miraculously trying to get back to doing some sort of real news reporting. It blew me away, I know. I'm as blown away as you are, and can't believe I had to make that statement. But apparently CNN has uncovered new information about some serious allegations concerning the CIA. In the wake of the Benghazi terror attack. As we know, four Americans, including Ambassador Christopher Stevens, were killed in the Benghazi assault by armed militants on September 11th in Libya. So what we got here is apparently CNN has some sources that work for the CIA that are now telling them that they were indeed on the ground that night, and that the CIA itself is going to great lengths to make sure that whatever they were doing remains a secret. Now, how are they going about doing that? Well, according to CNN, the CIA is involved in what one of their sources called an unprecedented attempt to keep the Benghazi secrets from ever leaking out. Since January, some of the CIA operatives that were involved in those missions in Libya that were available to do this, they have been going through frequent, even monthly, polygraph examinations. So the CIA is giving polygraph tests to their operatives, only the ones that were involved in Benghazi, on a monthly basis, to make sure that nobody is talking to the media or Congress. How is that for intimidation? I mean, the CIA employees are being intimidated by who? The CIA employees. You can't make this stuff up, guys. You really can't. According to CNN, one of the insider states that you don't jeopardize yourself, you jeopardize your family as well. So the CIA is sitting out there with threats, intimidation, polygraph tests, everything else, and threatening someone's family because they don't want the truth to come out about Benghazi. We know, and we've known this for a while, that there was probably right at 30 CIA operatives that could have went to help out, but they were ordered to stand down. They have orders to stand down. And we'll get to that in just a second. But, you know, typically the CIA would polygraph their members every 3 to 4 years. But now they're doing it about every month if you were involved with Benghazi. So this is a very rare situation. It's intentionally done. It's called an issue polygraph is the terminology. And that means that the polygraph division suspects something. They're looking for something, or they're on a fishing expedition, according to the CNN report. And, you know, but it's not routine to do this at all. So we need to start wondering. We need to start really asking questions of why aren't we doing that? I don't know. I don't know. And, you know, this all started along a while back. You know, AFRICOM commanding officer, General Carter Ham, as I mentioned, you know, was ordered to stand down. He was ordered to let go of that situation and let Al-Qaeda terrorists do what they wanted to do. He decided to violate orders. General Ham decided to ignore the orders to stand down from the Secretary of Defense, and he went ahead and activated the special operations teams, which would include the CIA operatives, for immediate deployment to Benghazi to protect the embassy, Ambassador Chris Stevens, and everyone involved. What is going on here? According to reports, once he decided to ignore those orders and begin an immediate deployment to Benghazi, he was considered rogue, and he was arrested within minutes by his second in command and relieved of all duty. Now, being a veteran myself, in some situations I can see relieving your commander of duty if he's doing something stupid. But never, until now, and maybe I'm naive, maybe I live in a bubble, I don't know, but never until now have I known of a commanding officer who is trying to save soldiers' lives being ordered to stand down and then getting relieved of duty when he felt that the life of an American soldier was more important than some kind of political game that Barack Obama's administration was playing with Al-Qaeda. I mean, that's exactly what I think. Leon Panetta, of course, Secretary of Defense at that time, said the basic principle is that you don't deploy forces into harm's way without knowing what's going on, without having some real-time information available about what's taking place. And as a result of not having that kind of information, the commander who was on the ground in that area, General Ham, General Dempsey and I felt very strongly that we could not put forces at risk in that situation. So Panetta tried to white coat it, sugarcoat it, and act like Ham was going off half-cocked. Except we find out through CNN that that's not true. General Ham, as head of AFRICOM, received the same emails that the White House received that were requesting help as the attack was taking place. He immediately had a rapid response unit ready, communicated to the Pentagon that he was ready to go, then received the order to stand down, and within 30 seconds to a minute after making the move to go ahead with it anyway, his second-in-command arrested him and relieved him of command. White House orders, folks. General Ham had real-time information that Leon Panetta lies and says that he didn't have. General Ham had a plan in place to assist Ambassador Stevens and the other three Americans that died. The White House said no. Let them die. That's your president. And we're not doing anything about that. That's awful. And it gets even worse. According to Representative Trey Gowdy out of South Carolina, he said that the Obama administration is hiding survivors of the Benghazi terror attack by dispersing them around the country and actually changing their names. Trey Gowdy, this is according to Examiner. Trey Gowdy said the Obama administration is hiding survivors of the attack, sending them around the country and changing their names. Why would he do that? I have never known an investigation of any type that has not included the testimony of somebody that had firsthand knowledge of a situation. Not once. Not once. Why are they scared of these guys telling the truth? What do they have to hide? Why are they covering up? See, these are the questions that we're not fighting for. This is freedom and liberty dying. This is not transparent from the most transparent presidency in the history of America, according to what Barack Obama promised us. This has absolutely nothing to do with what we're supposed to be about in this country. It is a political coup, if you will. We have socialists that have taken over this country, and we have an opposition party in the Republican Party who's not doing one damn thing about it. Don't think that this is just a Democrat problem, folks. It isn't. This is a uniparty in action. What the trade-off was to the Republican Party for not stopping this madness is beyond me. But this is a uniparty in action. If you think I don't think that there's other things going on, you're wrong. Because in other national news, you talk about the uniparty in action and the liberal Democrats. PersonalLiberty.com went ahead and put out a poll. And I believe that poll was by the Pike. I'll have to find that for you real quick. But there was a poll done about whether or not Detroit should have a bailout. It's a Quinnipiac poll. They want to know if Detroit should have the bailout. Lo and behold, the majority of Americans say no. The majority of Americans say no. We don't need to do that. By a vote of 53% to 40%. Now, there are racial and gender divisions, and we're not going to get into all that kind of crap. But the bailout, I'm sorry, was 51% to 35% for bailing out bankrupt Detroit. 16% difference. You know, so we've got to start really paying attention to this. And if you think that this whole racial divide isn't strong in this particular case, think about this. Black voters support a bailout by 57% to 36%. White voters are opposed to a bailout by 63% to 26%. Now, why do you think the black people want a bailout of Detroit? Because the majority of people affected by that whole deal are the poor and oppressed who have learned or been taught that their only value is what the federal government is willing to give them. I'm sorry, folks, call me racist, but Detroit is loaded with that mentality. And Detroit is loaded with a lot of poor, oppressed black people. Now, the white people will be offended. Well, he's using the word oppressed, like we've done something to oppress the black people. And the black people will be offended because I'm a racist, because I'm a white guy stating the obvious. Let's offend everybody. I don't care. But when you put your own value, whether you're black, white, green, yellow, or purple, when you place the value of who you are and what you're worth on a federal government, you become so dependent on that handout that you have literally become incapable of going out and providing for yourself. What else can you say? And who benefits from that? Because a liberal agenda has been force-feeding and cramming this down the throat of the poor and primarily the black communities by telling them, you're not worth anything. You're not worth anything. We're going to give you this to help you survive because nobody thinks you're worth anything. That's what a lot of these people believe. And it's not true. I'll tell you, folks, I was born a poor white child. I've never run from that. Not one time in my history have I ever run from who I am. As a child, we were forced to use food stamps, and I mean real food stamps, not this credit card that they just load up every month and let you have for nothing. There was a period of time when that happened. That was my life. That was my reality. We were poor. We didn't have anything. And you know what? I survived. By today's standards, I should have no teeth, bald, weigh 500 pounds, live in a broken-down trailer with 7.3 kids and being paid by you, the taxpayer, to live that life. You have to provide for me for every bit of that. By today's standards, that's who I should be. I didn't survive because I was white. I survived because I knew I had more to offer, and I knew I could better myself. I survived because I wanted to better myself. But you don't have that mindset today. So we've got to start paying attention to these kind of things, folks. We've got to get out of this incredible journey, you know, where we think we're entitled to something without working to earn it. It's the liberal agenda on steroids today, and we have to change that. It's the uniparty agenda. I shouldn't even say liberal half the time. Because it's a uniparty. The Republicans don't mind it. They let the government keep borrowing, and they keep getting richer. Kind of funny that the Democrats are the ones talking about the rich getting richer when some of the richest people in Congress are the Democrats. Ask John Kerry. You know, so we can go down that road too. But we've got to start looking at all of this. And by the way, that poll also talked about the stand your ground laws. American voters back the stand your ground laws, 53% to 40% according to this poll. 53% to 40%. So more than half the American people believe that stand your ground laws should exist. And yet you've got the Democrat liberal agenda out there trying to get rid of it. And ironically, if they take away stand your ground laws, the people who are going to suffer the most is the black population, and that's who's fighting to get rid of. Stand your ground has saved more black people from being imprisoned than it has white people. So why are we continuing going down that road? And everybody wants to scream the Trayvon Martin mess is what all this is about with stand your ground. Well, that's not true. That's not true. There was nothing in the Trayvon Martin mess, in the George Zimmerman case, that used stand your ground laws or even tried to apply them. Interesting email circulating, since I brought up Trayvon. Interesting email circulating. Apparently, Tracy Martin and his former wife, Sabrina, you know, these guys immediately, once Trayvon was shot, they went out and copyrighted his name and everything else. They're going to get paid. They want to get paid. That's what it's all about. Now, I'm not trying to discount the fact that they lost a kid, but they know damn good well their kid wasn't this sweet little innocent boy that they went out and tried to sell and the media sucked up on and tried to screw the American people with. But it's interesting that they are still doing things like this email. This email, the beginning of this email going around is being sent to people based off of Democratic voter list, I guess. You know, it's kind of interesting. But it starts this way. Last year, our son Trayvon Martin was stalked, chased down, and killed by George Zimmerman and received no punishment whatsoever. That's in large part because Florida is one of at least 21 states with some form of stand-your-ground law, which enables people like George Zimmerman to claim self-defense. So immediately in that first paragraph, folks, the lie is set. The stage is set, and from that point forward, all they do is try to fight against stand-your-ground. It's a bunch of Democratic plant idiots. I have no remorse for Trayvon Martin's parents for not being any smarter than that. When you start an email and you're out there trying to defend your position and you scream about how Trayvon Martin was stalked, chased down, and killed by George Zimmerman, which is a complete lie, then there is nothing in the rest of that email or correspondence that can be considered truth. I'm sorry. I wish it were different. And I'm sorry that Sabrina Fulton and Tracy Martin lost their son. But I'm also sorry that Trayvon Martin chased down George Zimmerman, became the aggressor, and punched George Zimmerman. Because that's what happened. Because that's what happened. There was ample opportunity to get away, and nothing was done. That's what happened. You don't have to like it. You don't have to approve of the fact that I'm pointing it out. But that's exactly what happened. Trayvon had every opportunity to get away. It was clear through all testimony, including the 911 audio tape or the testimony for George Zimmerman, the audio tape when he was speaking to a dispatcher who said, "I lost him. He's no longer in my sight." The dispatcher told him to go back to his car, and he said, "Okay." But when he turned around and was going back to his car, Trayvon Martin confronted George Zimmerman by punching him in the nose and knocking him to the ground, where he proceeded to beat his head into the concrete. So how you could send out a lie like that, and the reality is that a lot of people are going to sit here and believe this crap. And they go on to say, to stand your ground was never meant to give aggressors the opportunity to get away with murder, but that's what happened when our son Trayvon was killed. No, sorry, that isn't what happened. So if you get this email in your inbox, you know, or somebody sends this to you, please really pay attention. You know, they're calling for, they're trying to get everybody to sign a petition to review all your stand your ground laws. This is Barack Obama and Eric Holder going out there pushing this agenda. They're working with Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, trying to make everybody relevant again and create the racial divide so that they can profit from it. It's a joke. It's a scam. And this White House administration should be held accountable to it because they are part of this. They are part of the problem, not the solution. And when I talk about Al Sharpton, I've got to point this out, folks. I don't know if you guys remember Tawana Brawley. I don't know if you remember Tawana Brawley. But Tawana Brawley is a very interesting case study because Tawana Brawley was touted by Al Sharpton as being raped and victimized. And I believe it was back in 1998. But being raped and victimized by six white men, including a prosecuting attorney. Al Sharpton goes out and starts telling the whole world all this racist garbage, you know, and all the other stuff. Goes out on behalf of Tawana Brawley. I've got to take up some money. We have to get this. We have to get this message out. He uses it as a daggone money scam, as he always does. As he always does. And what happens? Lo and behold, the Tawana Brawley case was a hoax. It was untrue. It was untrue. Al Sharpton, even today, refuses to apologize for his involvement in that. He wants to tell the whole world, I believed her story. I believed her story. That was 1987, folks. I apologize for getting the time wrong. I believed her story. I have no apologies to make. You know, he says the only thing that he regretted was resorting to name calling. Resorting to name calling against the prosecuting attorney, that one of the attorneys that was accused in that, Steve Pagonis. He should have personally attacked Pagonis as part of his activism, but he doesn't have any other regrets than that. It's fascinating. Of course, Al Sharpton was sued by Pagones, as was Brawley. Al Sharpton had to pay $65,000 to Pagones, and he didn't pay that out of his pocket. He went and raised money from his supporters. They paid for that for him. He goes out and has the public pay his $65,000. Didn't cost him anything. And this idiot is still preaching racism on a national mainstream news called MSNBC. Now, there was $190,000 that Brawley was ordered to pay. Finally. Finally. She made the first payment to Pagones recently. The amount was $3,700. Yeah, you heard me. $3,700. With interest and everything else, the original $190,000 she was ordered to pay has increased to about $430,000. So they finally started garnishing her wages because Pagones found out through a public story that she was now employed as a nurse in Virginia. So as soon as he found out she was employed as a nurse in Virginia, Pagones says, hey, guess what? Let's go to Virginia, let's garnish you her paycheck, and we'll go ahead and get paid that way. So now she's paying about $627 a month to Pagones for her lie that destroyed him. But it took her all these years to pay the first payment of $3,700. And he says one thing. He says, all I want her to do is confess and say she's sorry. And she ain't got to pay a dime. She refuses to do it. So I wonder how long she's going to keep her job before she quits it. That's what I want to know. And I wonder why mainstream media let Al Sharpton get away with this crap and let him continue to become the racist divider that he is today without holding them accountable. There was no backlash against Sharpton for any of this stuff. There was no backlash against anything. But that's what he's always done. So I thought those were very interesting stories to pass on to you. You know, some other things that we really need to do. When we talked about stand your ground, I mentioned that the people who would suffer the most if we eliminate stand your grounds are poor black people who live in high crime areas. They may be the most likely victims of crime, but they're also the ones who benefit the most from stand your ground laws. You know, we know that if you need police in minutes, they're there in hours. If you need them in seconds, they're there in minutes. We know this, okay? That's not hard to figure out, you know? But let's take Florida, for example, where Trayvon Martin was shot. The black population only makes up 16.6% of Florida's whole population. Yet, miraculously, they account for 31% of Florida's defendants that invoke the stand your ground defense. For the black defendants who use the stand your ground defense to justify their actions, they are acquitted 8% more frequently than whites who use that same defense. But wait a minute, Trayvon's parents said stand your ground is why George Zimmerman is a murderer and their child is dead. George Zimmerman got off. Yes, he did, because he should have. But if you're going to go out there and try to justify eliminating stand your ground, and you're going to try to accuse a white person of being racist, and that stand your ground law is a racist law because it only helps white people, you better be able to back it up. You better be able to back it up. And according to this article, and I know it's Fox News, think of the source what you want to, but it doesn't discount the evidence. Black people are acquitted at a rate of 8% more than white people in Florida who use the stand your ground law defense. So how can you sit out here, Mr. Martin and Ms. Fulton, and make the claim that eliminating stand your ground would have gotten you justice for Trayvon Martin when stand your ground was never used as a defense in the first place? You're being used. You don't see it, but you're being used by your good buddies, Eric Holder and Barack Obama, Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, who have a preconceived agenda and they want to use you to get what they want. But who's going to hurt? Who's going to suffer more? The black community is going to suffer more. And if you're going to be put as the face of that black community, then you damn well better have some substance. This clearly says more than I ever could. According to data compiled by the Tampa Bay Tribune, who examined at least 112 cases of those people relying on stand your ground law. They started with the first cases filed in 2006 up until recently. 71% of those who killed an African-American man or woman faced no penalty whatsoever, compared to 59% of those who killed a white person. So you would think that this would prove racism. But it doesn't. Because, see, this is where the liberal agenda comes in. This is where the Tampa Bay Tribune screws up. Because you have to go on and look at the numbers. Because when you look at these cases, two people may be charged with murder, but that doesn't mean that the two cases are identical. And that's where this is screwed up. Because if you use the Tampa Bay Tribune data, blacks that were killed in these confrontations were 13 percentage points more likely to be armed than the whites who were killed. 13% more likely to be armed if you were black than white. So, with that in mind, doesn't it seem more realistic that some people would think they had little choice but to kill their attacker? By a 43-16% margin, think about that number. 43-16% margin, the black men and women who were killed were more often committing a crime. They were killed in the act of committing a crime by a 43 to 16% margin. You want to talk about witnesses? There were more cases with the witness around when someone who was black was killed, 69 to 62%. Numbers are important, folks. Numbers are important, but you can't cherry pick what you want to put out. You can't cherry pick and say, oh, well, this is what we want to do. This is how it is. No, you have to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Unfortunately, our leadership doesn't believe in that. They really don't. They don't believe in that. And that's what the sad reality is today. We have got continuing evidence of an agenda to create a racial divide, to keep the liberals in power. We have got evidence of mass cover-ups that have resulted in American lives being lost, CIA operatives, Benghazi, and everything else. All these things have to lead to a conclusion. It's up to you guys to decide and determine where it's going to lead, and it's up to you to decide and determine if you're going to get involved to stop it. Because the conclusion is real simple. The most logical conclusion is real simple. It's a matter of control. We the people are not supposed to fear our government. Our government is supposed to fear us. Our government only has power if we empower them. We empower them by electing them to office and continuing to elect them to office, knowing full well what they are doing to us. But a starving man will grasp at anything to eat. A drowning man will grasp at anything to breathe. It's just the way it is. It's the nature of the beast. It's survival. And over the past 20 years primarily, we have seen a coordinated effort to force people into survival mode so that they give up any semblance of morals, ethics, or integrity. It starts at the top and it goes downhill. These guys are taking a crap on our heads and we're being used as toilet paper to clean their butt. I know that's crass, I know that's crude, but that's essentially what it is. So you have to make a decision to get involved to make a difference. I can't do that for you. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, same time, same place. I would love to get into some discussions about some of these police stories going on around the country. We've got stories of an elderly man in a nursing home. They were shot by police with a beanbag in the belly and died from internal injuries because he wouldn't take his medicine. And a whole host of others. Make sure you tune in tomorrow night at 7. We'll get into that story, and I'm sure we'll get some more updates on what's going on around Louisville and the country as well. Enjoy. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. And don't forget to check out LouisvillePolitics.com. Make sure you join into our RSS feed, our email newsletter, and click on a sponsor or two as well. Those sponsors help pay for everything and keep everything afloat. In the meantime, you folks have a great night, and we will talk to you later. Take care.